All right, we're going to begin our message here today, and the message is called The Word of God is Necessary. So I'm taking the Word of God and the fundamental message that I had and taking each of those components and re-looking at them. Anybody remember what we talked about last week? I'm just as a test to see if you guys were awake. It was, the Word of God is eternal, right? And it's forever and stuff like that, right? So, if you have to go back in the website, there is my message and you can listen to that again. I'll come over and I'll give it to you, Bev. I'll be over there at 7 o'clock in the morning on Monday, okay? Yeah. Anyhow, we've got the stuff. This I'm going to start. Usually, I start with a prayer, but I'm going to have someone else do the prayer for me. Monty shared a little video clip, and I think it's really important to kind of show this here today. So, this is my prayer for beginning the message.
In your name, I pray.
Yeah, and you're right. It's what's important is that children need to be trained. Yes. You know, and shown, and have an example in which to look and be able to do that. And it's just like it's so neat that Rosie's mom is able to do that for us. Well, we're going to be going through a little bit of scripture, and I've got a couple things to share with you after the end of seeing some scripture here. Our first scripture verse is this one here that Jesus, in Matthew 4:4, says, Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And this is important. This is kind of a common scripture that people hear all the time. Because it goes back to, you know, talking about with the youth here about whether it's a need or a want. Yes, we need to have food. But we think sometimes the more food we have, the better off we are. Or the better foods we have. You know, eat more vegetables, eat more fruits. By the way, I promote fruits an awful lot. Especially at, you know, some of the dinners that we have on Tuesday that might be, you know, really good to bring. I like fruit, so, yeah. And it's like, you know, we tend to emphasize some certain foods because we tend to like those ones. And sometimes it's sweets, you know, that we hunger for. And it's almost like if we don't have our candy bar, you know, or a little dessert after every meal, then it just doesn't feel like the whole meal has been displayed and given. Amen. Amen. I like that. And but really what's important is that, you know, food will sustain us for a short period of time, and then we have to re-eat again, another meal. And if we don't eat food, we will wither and die. And really, that's just the end of it that goes along with it. But when God is speaking about that His Word is important, right? That every word that comes from the mouth of God is important, because it goes back to what we talked about last week, that the Word of God is
eternal.
Thank you. Is eternal, which means that feeds us, that God's Word feeds us. And it's necessary that we are fed God's Word in order to have eternal life with Him. If we deny that aspect of our life, then death is what will come, no matter how much food we eat. And it's important to realize that, yeah, we need food. It is a necessary thing. But when we are a spiritual being, we don't need food, right? What we need is the presence of God and all of that. So we look at that aspect that's there. And this is a really good reminder that it's not about just the physical things of your body. It's the spiritual things of your body that are just as important and maybe even more so important. But the world's emphasis is always about the physical and not about the spiritual. And this is where God really kind of jumps in and says this very thing. Where's your focus? Is it on those physical things, or is it on the things that make you feel good? Because I know, and you guys are probably the same way, when you're out, you've been working for all day long, and you come home, and it's like, first thing you go is the kitchen. And it's because your body is telling you, you need food in order to keep going. And you listen to that, and you go into the refrigerator, you go into the bread box, wherever it goes. And by the way, Monty's wife gave me a loaf of bread. It was consumed, literally, within a day and a half. And it was just unbelievable bread. It's just like, I came home, and that was the first thing that I went to. It was calling my name, and I couldn't help it. I had to eat some more of it. And my son Tim really enjoyed that too. So it calls to us. Does the Word of God call to you that way? That when you miss church on Sunday because you've got some family event and everything, and then you come back, that following week, and you feel like you've been away for a month and a half or so. Do you feel that? Or when you've been away for a long period of time, and then you finally come back, and it just feels like home. It should be that way. When you're here, in a sense, that we've got here. And that's what it means to be with the Word of God, is that it is necessary to have peace in your life, is to have the Word of God in your life. All right, and we can say this until we're blue. And I get that. Because we, it's just, sometimes it's just words to us. It's like, yeah, we'll agree with that. But then as soon as you go out the door, boom, it's like, boom, it's out there. Shouldn't be. I really loved the Danas when they were coming here, because they would take the little half sheet of paper that you have, for the, has a scripture verse on it, and they would use that as their Bible study throughout the week. Every one of them would study it. I'm kind of picking on them really, but they would study it and get their own meaning on each of the scriptures that were there, and then they would gather together. I forgot, it was like a Wednesday or something like that, and they would discuss those, and it was really cool. You know what it does? It ingrains some of the things that are being brought as a cluster of us gathering together and worshiping, and they're taking more of it. I always appreciated that a lot about the Danas as they did that sort of thing. And look at this one here in Mark 12, 28 through 31. It's really important because, in Scripture there's a lot of words. And then you're kind of wondering, which ones should we really hang on to? And it says here, like I said in Mark 12, he says, one of the teachers of the law, and the teachers of the law are the Pharisees, and they are the ones that teach God's word to the people. Right? So he's asking Jesus a very specific question about all of these words, from all the books that they have in the Old Testament, which is the most important. So one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. He asked them, of all the commandments. Now, how many commandments are there? Well, there's 10 that God gave us in Deuteronomy, in Exodus when they were, before the mountain, and then Moses had those, they were inscribed by God on the tablets there. But then if you look at the Jewish tradition and the laws that were put in there, there's like well over 600 laws that they had. Yeah, it is a lot. And it was impossible to be able to maintain all the laws. And it's just, so they put an awful lot in there. Yeah, there's, we base this up at 10. But he's asking, which is the most important? And Jesus, he said, well, you got to come back, and I got to think about this for about, 2 or 3 days, meditate and pray on it, and, what is it? No, he answers like immediately. And he comes right back, and he knows exactly what is the most important. How does he do that? Well, he is God, so it does help in that sort of area there. But he knows what is necessary out of all of those words that are in the books that, you know, the Jewish people had. And he says this, the most important one. Now, when somebody says, what I'm about to say is more important than anything I've ever said before, what would you do?
Listen.
You would listen. Some people turn on their Walkman. We don't even have Walkmans anymore, right? Sorry. Some people would turn on their iPhones, yeah, and start listening to that sort of thing. And it's like, okay, yeah, what was that again? You know, and it'll just go through them. But really, if someone is saying the most important thing, listen, right? And Jesus answered this, is this. Now, again, if you don't get anything out of this message, and I ask you tomorrow, or next Sunday, what did I say last week? All right, this is one of those things that you need to say. You said, well, the most important commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then he throws in the second one, and he's like, you just really give that fullness of an answer, not just the first, but the second one. And he says, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Now, why would Jesus say these words? Love the Lord your God with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your everything that you've got.
That's your salvation.
It is. And it's like, if you love the Lord that much, then every word that He says is going to be necessary to you in order to define who you are. But if the Lord isn't this important to you, then what will happen is you will get static in these words. And you'll be listening to the static, which is really the words of the world, saying, you deserve to be loved. You deserve to have this. You deserve, you deserve, you deserve. You know what I mean? And that's going to be confusing when all of a sudden you hear the words, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Because those two don't really mix. And then you have to make a choice. Which one is more necessary to you? You see, Jesus comes right out and says a lot of things. And it just goes right over the heads of individuals. Because it's not the answer that they want. So, we have to be careful. And we've got lots of scripture, lots of word to be able to do it. Think about some of the prophets that came through. In Ezekiel 3, 10 through 11, he says, in this area here, Ezekiel was a prophet to the Israelites during the time of the Babylonian captivity. And he says, this is one of the scriptures that comes in and actually kind of talks about what a prophet's supposed to do. And he said to me, son of man. So this is what God said to Ezekiel. Son of man, listen carefully and take heart all the words I speak to you. Go now to your countrymen in exile and speak to them. Say to them, this is what the Lord, the sovereign Lord says, whether they listen or fail to listen. Now, Ezekiel, he's a good prophet. He gets a word from God, and then he takes that word to the people. That's what a prophet does. Sometimes it's a prophecy about what is going to come about. Sometimes it's a prophecy of God's inflictment of judgment on them, whether that judgment is good or bad, based upon what the Israelite people have done. Sometimes the judgment, you know, the words of God can be the words of encouragement, you know, to an individual. Ezekiel was to take the very words that God said and give those very words to the people. Now, was Ezekiel able to put his spin on those words? Was he able to say, and this is really what God is saying, according to Ezekiel? No. Flat out, word for word, that's what Ezekiel did. That's what Jeremiah did. That's what Isaiah did. That's what the prophets did. That's what Jonah did. When you go back to Tom's message, when he went into Nineveh, right? And he preached, 40 days, this city's going to be destroyed unless you repent. Those are not nice words. Because Jonah eventually ended up becoming obedient to doing God's word, those people were saved. They listened to the word, found out that it was necessary for them to respond correctly to those words, and their place was not destroyed. There are other places where it says right here that whether they listen or fail to listen, you are to preach the word truthfully without any extra words. Loretta.
I love because that goes right along with the story and life of what Mary Ann shared, St. Patrick. He was pulled into slavery and accepted Christ, and then he went back. Whether they accepted it or not, I'm not sure.
But right, he felt led because he loved the Lord his God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, mind, and strength, that he had to go back to the place where he was as a slave, yeah, very much so. And we think about this stuff too as we think about what's Rose's mother's name?
Melissa.
What Melissa is doing with Rose, you know, teaching the very words of how to pray, you know, dear Jesus and amen, and those very important words that are within that sort of stuff. Now, kids are nice because they, you know, they don't, you know, they can absorb stuff. But to go to slave handlers, like, you know, and to deal with that, to go with people that know more than you, you know, they've got a bigger degree or they're, you know, they're more wealthy than you, but they don't know the Lord and you're speaking to them about the Lord. Sometimes it's intimidating to do. But for Ezekiel, God is very clear. Whether they hear the word or not, whether they listen or not, preach the word. Because it is necessary for them to hear. And whether they decide to follow through with that hearing or not will depend upon the judgment that God puts upon them. The same thing with you. When you hear God's word, how do you respond? Yeah, it should be. It should be bound in your heart forever as we go through. And we look at Mark, just in terms of, again, how important the word is to us. And we are told repeatedly, and Jesus says, sometimes he'll say, and I say again. It's like, yeah, listen to that spot. You know, it's like he's telling us, this is really, really important. And here they are. This is a, you know, three of the disciples, Jesus, and he's up on this mountain transfiguration. Jesus has gotten all bright and, you know, big light and everything. And then this cloud comes down, and Mark 9:7 it says, and then the cloud appeared and enveloped them, right? And a voice came from the cloud. This is my son. I always think of a dark, dumb, deep voice. This is my son, whom I love. Thank you. Listen to him. Yeah. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to listen to the words of God. Do you? When your parents say, clean your room, do you listen? No. I wasn't very good at that. Actually, I was for a while when I was younger, and then I moved out. Yeah, when my mom called me Michael Charles, I knew I was in trouble. I was listening then. Yeah, yeah. And this whole thing is like, this is God the Father speaking. "This is my son. Listen to him." Those are God's words. Because you know what? When Jesus speaks, he speaks the word of God all the time. He only says what his Father tells him to say. Nothing more, nothing less. And that sounds just like what Ezekiel was to do. My gosh, that should be the same thing as that we do. Our voices should be tailored to what God would be saying. All the time. Wherever we are. In James chapter 1, verse 22, it says this, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." So when God the Father is coming down this cloud and says, "Listen to my son," he's not saying just make sure you hear the words. He says, "Do what he says." When Ezekiel gives the prophecy to those people, he's not merely just shouting out some words that God had said and this, put up a big banner and as they walk by and say, "Oh yeah, those are God's words." No. People are to follow those words. Yeah. When your mom or dad says, "Clean your room," guess what? That's what you should be doing. Jackson, why are you laughing? No, I'm picking on you. Please don't. Because I'd be like, I know my mom just told me to clean my room and I didn't. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it just kind of hits me right there. So here we are, we're at this point where we're looking at do what it says. It's these words, the words that we have are very, very important. And we look at this other scripture verse here where Jesus calls to the people. Because they're people that have been burdened by society, by even the church, that there's just no relief in sight. And in Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." I mean, isn't that what everybody wants? We want to have some peace from this laborious job thing that we have to do through life and everything. Yeah, and the whole stress that goes through there. But Jesus says this right after that. "Take my yoke upon you." Right? So a yoke is something that you would literally put on your shoulder. And what it does is help spread the weight out of the burden that you're going to be carrying. But God says, "Take this yoke." Don't take the yoke of the world, but take the yoke that I give you. Which means that there's still work involved being with God. All right? Don't think it's just I'm going to be able to sit in that cloud eating bonbons all my life now, as we sometimes see in the pictures, right? But he says, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Listen to my words. Because my words will teach you how to have peace in a world of turmoil. My words will teach you how to find rest in a job force that gives no rest." You know, that's what God is saying. And he says that I am gentle. Speaking about his character, I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Because I am that way for you. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know why the yoke is easy? Because you're not the only one carrying that burden. In fact, Jesus is the one that carries the burden. All we have to do is follow. Listen. Obey. All these words that God says and how important that is. And we look at this very, very thing here because the next verse is something we know and it's very important for us to be able to do. And it's probably one of the things that we are starting to lack in this society today. In Proverbs 22:6, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." What Melissa is doing with Rose is training that child to seek God. to be able to listen to God. And you can see her great joy, you know, and she's finishing the prayer and she's like, amen, you know, and it's like she was just all excited. And you did it, you know, all those words of encouragement are there. That when we do that, it makes a difference in the lives of individuals. I've got two things that I want to share with you yet. And it's not scriptural, but I want to talk about how words are important. So I got it was an email from an English teacher. They're doing an assignment, and she was warning me that a student was going to contact me. I wanted to know if it was all right if a student contacted me to ask me some questions. It was like a interview stuff. She asked questions like, you know, what do you feel are some of the most important life lessons that you've learned? And if you could give me one piece of advice, what would you give me, right? You know, some other questions were, how was it different for you growing up than it is for teachers nowadays? And I don't know if the questions are the standard questions for every student to do or whether this individual came up with all these questions, but there's quite a few. There's like 16 questions. All right, I went through it. And so I took 3 pages of writing to write her answer out. I probably could have done more, I don't know. But I didn't know how much really to do and everything. But she says here, she says, what do you feel are some of the most important life lessons you've learned? This is my response. The most prominent life lesson I've learned is to seek God. I'm sure this sounds religious, but it's the basis of who I am. Learning God's character gives me direction in life and how to react to those around me, think and live my life. I have found God to be a constant in this life where everything else is just cultural or a fad. And I didn't want to throw a lot of stuff in there, but I want her to know that God is important in my life. And I put a few other things in there too. They're kind of short. And one of what she asked, you know, if you could give me one piece of advice, what would it be? I said, my best advice I can give you is not to put your trust in what society tells you. I believe that we know what is ultimately right and wrong, even if it runs contrary to what we want or feel at the time. Seek God and find out who He is. Those are my words, you know, simple and to the point and stuff. And then I had, you know, she has another one over here. What are some of the things that motivate you in life? My motivation is to honor God and my family with how I live my life. As a Christian, I know there is eternity, and since God has given us all gifts, I want to use what He has given me to honor Him. And I've talked about, you know, dealing with society and helping people, you know, in some of the other questions and everything. But those are the important ones. I wanted to see this is one of those things where I'm out of school. I'm not a teacher anymore. And she's asking me what I want. So I'm very careful about the words that I put down, the ones that I felt were really necessary for this individual to be able to hear some of those things. And I loved being able to share with that. Doran?
Wouldn't it also be important to mention the name of God, like Jesus? Otherwise, this thing could come from a Jew and say the same thing. Right?
Yeah, well, I mentioned Christian in there, so Christian represents Christ, I suppose, yeah.
You should have asked her the same question.
Yeah, right, could have. And then it was like, maybe a couple weeks later, I went into sub, and the English teacher gave me an envelope. It's like, this is from Caitlin. I'm like, oh, that's cool. So I had no idea what it was, so it was a letter that she wrote to me. And I want to share that letter if I can. It says, Dear Mr. Galt, and by the way, she spelled my name correctly. Everybody has the A and U backwards, so it's good plus for them. So I hope this letter finds you well in whatever flower bed you may be in. Because that's one of my, you know, hobbies and stuff. It should have been garden. Hope makes me go to the flower beds. Yeah. Anyhow, it says, I'm writing this letter to go along with an English project. For this project, we had to pick a person who we thought impacted us and encouraged us the most and to write them, and I thought you fit this perfectly. When I started seventh grade, I was struggling to find friends and hobbies. This was until I joined your FFA group. During this time, not only did I make friends and build connections, but our projects helped me to find a passion for animals and working outside, which is why I'd like to go into a career similar to yours. Working at the fair with you also helped me to realize the importance of community and the ethics behind it. Besides from your in-class lessons, I picked up more from your long rants about life during class. I'm like, what? If not more. Every time you shared a story about your life, you weren't just sharing your own experiences, you were helping us to build our own. From things like bird watching to free meals, every story showed me what it meant to appreciate that what I had and enjoy the little things in life like you do. I thought it was pretty powerful, right? Overall, I've meant to write this letter to thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for all the support and the encouragement you've given me over the years. You've taught me many important lessons that I'll likely remember well into my life. So I hope this letter finds you, lets you remember how you've impacted me. Thank you for the support, and I hope you enjoy your retirement. It goes on.
This,
yeah. You don't always get these, yeah.
No.
You know, and... Yeah.
You know, sometimes a t-shirt, 20 years go by, you meet him, you say, 20 years ago when you taught me, you impacted me. You never know that until somebody comes and meets you, even though it's 20 years later.
Yeah.
And you know what you did back in that time. You didn't even know that you impacted them.
Right, right. But what she's saying, too, with all of this, is that my words count.
Yes.
My words are necessary for her to be, you know, have an impact on her. And if you think, what?
Based on your life,
yes.
And what you did for her, she's more apt to listen to that letter that you sent back. Yes,
that's my point. Yeah. Because she doesn't know the basis. I mean, she kind of knows. You know, she knows that I was a pastor and stuff like that. But now she understands that is my life. That's what directs me and where I go. So that if she wants to replicate some of that, she has to go to Christ herself. Yeah.
That's a divine interception, or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, so you never know the ones that you're going to impact with and stuff. And we all should have this. I'm gonna this next video is gonna be has a big impact on me. It's not me, but maybe you'll recognize the person that's in there. So just listen through it carefully what the individual is saying, and then we'll talk a little bit about it afterwards. I want you to think about the verse that we mentioned about, you know, in Proverbs, you know, train a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Very important to be able to look at that, right? So, this one here was shared with me this week, and I want to be able to share that with you too. So here we go.
Just never stop, never give up. When you want to give up, that's probably when you need to keep going. We went to church regularly, Wednesday night, Sunday mornings. So I knew of him, I just didn't know him. And then when I became about 14 or 15, I started becoming very angry with him. Things started happening in my life, and I was blaming him. And so that at age 15 led me into a 15-year, mostly opioid addiction. And then August 2023, I was incarcerated at Island Mountain. And I was in segregation for about 2 months. I quit talking to my mom, and I got in there, and I was very angry at her. And one of the chaplains brought me a Bible and like this little spiritual battle pamphlet, you know, and the first thing I looked at was Exodus 14:14, the Lord fight for you to see so. As soon as I seen that and read that, I felt it in me, you know? So I called my mom right away and was like, Mom, I'm so sorry, you know? And then it's crazy, even a couple of girls in the surrounding cells, we kept having our little Bible studies, and we're like, what the hell is for you? Well, I was friends with a couple of ladies in TLC, so I stayed in contact with them. And as soon as I got out of Highland in February 2024, I contacted one of his friends and was like, hey, are you going to church? And Chaplain Irene came and got me, and I didn't pick me up from church one day, and she's like, where have you been? And I was like, today? Yeah. And next thing you know, we left church and I moved right on. All's well. I just surrendered 100% to him. And he can have everything over me.
That's her baby, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, baby. Oh,
praise be to God, right?
To have a child. To have a child. You know, that you brought up Christian, and then they go wayward. Drugs, addictions, jail, separation. Even their body being somewhat destroyed. And yet here she hears the word of God. Was it Exodus 14:14? The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. The word of God was necessary for Tori to come to him. Don't deny the power of the word in your life or in the life of your children. You need to share words of God. You need to share words of encouragement. It's necessary for people to hear those words because it will affect them in ways that you have no idea. Maybe you'll get a letter from somebody that you met and you spend some time with them. Maybe you'll have a daughter or a son that's lost their way. Your words then and your words now make a difference. They're necessary. But they've got to be the word of God as well. They can't just be any words. I don't know how to emphasize that enough because there's power here in God's word. And when we look at the word of God and how powerful it is. It's necessary to have the truth. It's necessary to have those words of encouragement. It's necessary to not bend that truth to fit whatever you think it is that you want. Just give it straight. Those particular words touched Tori in Scripture. And many of the things that I taught in class were representative of Scripture, even though I can't use Scripture. And it touched an individual there. Yeah, yeah. And that's really my point, is that that's how it starts. That's how I started my message. A child saying a prayer to God. And it ends up with, you know, Tori just bringing other people to Christ and sharing the Word of God to those, you know. Very good. Let's just close. Father, we just thank you for your word. It is necessary in our lives. Can't emphasize that enough. I ask that you continue to guide us and share your word. Put it right in front. Help us to realize the importance of it. That when you say, this is important, or hear me, listen to me, that we do that very thing. We listen to the word of God always. Thank you for this time that we have, and this we pray. Amen.